right, good morning. Welcome to Living Hope. We like to start things off with the traditional Christian greeting. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Thank you. Christians throughout the ages have recognized the 40th day after Easter as Ascension Sunday. And that would have been Friday. He is risen indeed. That would have been Friday. So this is the first Sunday after that. So we'll celebrate this morning. But let's start off with prayer. Father in heaven, you have redeemed us by the blood of your Son and sanctified us by the grace of your Holy Spirit. Our simple praise can never be equal to your majesty, yet we ask that you accept our sacrifices of thanksgiving and that they'll be acceptable to you. Rule in our hearts today and always through Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you're willing and able, will you stand and sing with us this morning? This first one's from your Ashes to Fire CD, so you may recognize it. Join me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for filling our hearts with the joy of your love and your salvation. We praise you for sending your Son to live, to die, to rise again here on earth to save us from our sinful selves. Thank you for that amazing love. May we be open to your teachings this morning that we might spread that love throughout the earth as you commanded. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Take a few minutes and share that with each other.
Check one. Hello. All right. It's time for some announcements. Good morning. I think everybody knows me. I'm Nate. And usually Pastor Rich is here, but he's not. So we're going to go on as usual without him, and today, actually, Dwayne's preaching for us, but I have a few announcements, and then we're going to get on to our scripture reading. As normal, everybody knows we have a green card. If you don't like to use the green card, we understand, but we encourage everybody to make sure that you fill it out and respond with your comments, what the Lord is telling you through the sermon, ideas you have for the church, questions you have. Constant feedback is awesome, and I'll be checking that. So always remember to try to fill out your green cards. Another announcement I would like to highlight, not all of them here, but the summer kids camp. If you have a child or a neighbor or somebody that you think should be in camp, let me know. Because I'm on a mission to try to get as many kids in summer camp as I can, because I know how awesome summer camp is and how awesome the Lord works in summer camp and how awesome the leaders are at summer camp that prepare for summer camp and how I was changed when I was a kid at summer camp. So summer camp, summer camp, summer camp. How many times do I have to say summer camp? It's the summer season, and it's time to get out, time to get the kids there if we can. So let me know on your welcome card if you need more information. Also, your email will be nice if we don't have that on file. Men's breakfast is on the move. If you're a guy and you want some more fellowship with the men of the church, check it out, 6:30 a.m. at the Viking Chili Bowl. It's moved to Tuesdays. Jeff's in charge. and he'll be happy to have you. A bunch of other guys that are here also show up. I've been there a number of times, and it's a good time. Cleaning crew, I've decided that I'll volunteer for the cleaning crew. But maybe it don't be permanent. There's one opening, so we're going to see about getting more people involved. Not just in this, there's a lot of things in the church that go on and that will be going on as we grow as a church. And we'll be talking more about that later in the summer. So, without further ado, baptized. If you need to get baptized, you've never been baptized, you don't know what baptism is all about or the importance of it, it's a huge part of our Christian faith. And I know I wasn't baptized until I was actually a senior in college. So I actually went into class, and we were actually practicing as ministers in training in college. We were practicing the rite of baptisms. I was like, hey, let's not just practice. Let's get me baptized. So we practiced on me, and that was my only to knowledge of my real baptism. But if you don't know all what baptism means, talk to me or Rich. If you think somebody you know ought to get baptized, or first and foremost ought to get saved, talk to me or Rich. Let's build the kingdom here and have a good time doing it. So, anyways, we have scripture to be read today. It's not in your bulletin like it normally is. We apologize about that today. But just listen along extra close to the words being spoken, and we're going to have Mike come up. What we do have is Dwayne's awesome sermon notes, though. So check those out. Okay, Mike, here you go.
Thank you. Good morning. Follow along with me, if you would. A reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, and verses 21 to 26. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. Brothers, he said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit, speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us, whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they all prayed, O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of John, chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. The word of the Lord. Please stand with me for the reading of the gospel. A reading from John's gospel, chapter 17, verses 6 to 19. This is part of Jesus' prayer to his heavenly Father on behalf of his disciples. I have revealed you to the ones who you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
You may now be seated.
Thank you, Mike. Mike and his wife, Kathy, live in Hebron. And it was a city that was messed up for a few years, and then they finally got the streets done, and that's nice. You can go through there, and it is good. One change Nate forgot to talk about is men's breakfast. We moved this man's, or he talked about it, and I missed it. I wasn't paying attention. Did he really talk about it, Jeff? Jeff's in charge of it, Jeff the mechanic. And we changed it to Tuesday, so don't miss it. You can come at 6:30, by 7:30 you can leave. But, you know, sometimes it's great just to have men around and talk about things. Like, for example, this last week I was supposed to be on a golfing trip on Friday with some people from my previous church. And because I had this sinus infection that then went to bronchitis, and I had a fever on Wednesday night. Ruth says, well, you can't go golfing on Friday. I said, yeah, that's right. That's just the perfect excuse I need. So I called him up and said, I can't go. I got a fever. And but my older sister, I got two older sisters, a younger sister. My older sister's 4 years older than me, and so she still thinks she knows good advice, so she emails me this, just in case I went golfing. She didn't know I didn't. And here's what I said. Several men were in the locker room of a golf club, and a cellular phone on a bench rang, and the man engages in a hands-free speaker function, begins to talk. Now, you know, the phone's sitting there. He hits the hands-free thing when he answers it, so everybody in there can listen. And the man says, hello? And the woman says, hi, honey, it's me. Are you in the club? Yes. Well, I'm at the shops right now, and I found this beautiful leather coat for $2,000. Can I get it? Sure, go ahead if you like it that much. Well, and then she says, I also want you to know I stopped by the Lexus dealer on the way to the shop, and they have this car I really love. It's only $90,000. Can I get that? He said, well, okay, but I want it with all the options for $90,000. I need all the options. And the woman says, oh, great. Oh, one more thing. I was just talking to Jamie and found out that the house I wanted last year is now back on the market, and they're only asking $980,000 for it. The man says, well, why don't you make them an offer of $900,000? And if they don't take it, we'll go ahead and pay the extra $80,000. If that's really what you want, we'll get it. And the woman says, okay, I'll see you later. I love you so much. And the man says, bye, I love you too. Now, all the other guys in the locker room, they're just like, I can't just believe what I just heard. And then he picks up the phone. He says, by the way, anybody know whose phone this is? So I always have a fear of losing my phone, just in case Ruth calls. But anyway, today I want to look at the subject of how do you have a healthy understanding of God? Because I found out that a lot of people do not have a healthy understanding of God. In fact, this week, if you're reading in the Ashes to Fire book, they're going to be talking about commitment, committing yourself to God. I found out over the years there's one reason why most people don't want to commit their lives to God. I mean, it's okay to have him forgive me of my sins, but to be committed, to let him be Lord of my life, I don't know about that. You know why? Because we have a misunderstanding of who God is. And part of it comes from the fact that we don't understand Scripture that well. In fact, let's just take a look at in your notes there where it says, the first Scripture there, it says, the fear of the Lord. Now, just that word fear, if you fill in the blanks, it's going to make you think, I don't know about God, you know, because I'm afraid of him. Let's go ahead and read it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. I like the way it says it in a newer translation where it explains what this fear really is. In the newer translation, it says this, respect and obey the Lord. This is the beginning of knowledge. Only a fool rejects wisdom and good advice. So here's the thing. If I respect and obey God, have a proper fear of God, that's the starting point for knowledge. And then, not only do we need knowledge, but we need wisdom to know how to use the knowledge. But it's all tied to the proper respect and obedience to God, a proper fear of God. But a lot of us are foggy and muddy on what this concept is, because our view of God, we get our cues, kind of, our view from our earthly fathers. And there's all kinds of earthly fathers. Let me give you four examples this morning. There's the red light fathers. The red light fathers, you know, when you had a dad you saw as a red light dad, it was like, halt, stop. You know, you run the red light, hammer's going to come down. You'll be handcuffed. Bad boy, what you going to do? You know, you're in trouble. Kind of reminds me last week. I just found out this morning, Mike and Kathy Bogram from Hebron, the way they found out about this place was through Linda Zyla. Because Linda sells real estate and works under Kathy or works with Kathy or some way with Kathy. And in the first service last week, there's always, well, look at that. There's people back in this corner table. Only today, the curtains are all open. Because last Sunday, the curtains were closed and there was a hornet behind the curtain. And when the hornet came out, man, I mean, they started really scrambling around and upset the whole service because we could hear this commotion over there. And Rich finally says, what's going on over there? There's a hornet. Linda Zala, sitting right over here, calmly gets up, walks over there, slips off her shoe, pulls back the curtain, wham! No more hornet. Puts the shoe back down, puts it on, and calmly sits down. Somebody over here says, is that a proper way to treat God's creation? Yeah, it is if you sit over there. When you're on this side of the room, you can ask that. But some people, we look at God as being that way, like, oh man, if I make a mistake, boom, he's got me with the shoe. Just knock me out. Others of us grew up with a green light father. And in a green light household, there's no guardrails. There's no guidelines. There's no speed limit. It kind of reminds me of the Autobahn in Germany. You just get on there and go whatever speed you want to. I thought that'd be so cool until Ruth and I lived close to 30 and found out they do that anyway. But anyway, it just, the green light says, go for it. No problem. Doesn't matter what you do. You know, you mess up, you wreck, whatever. Everything's cool. Just do it. And if you're not careful, you'll see God that way. And you don't have a proper fear of God. A right understanding of God. If he's a green light God. No guidelines, no guardrails. In fact, I talked to a man several years ago involved in the church I was pastoring. And he was living this green life lifestyle. I couldn't figure out why on earth he was doing it until I began to ask him about his background and where he grew up and how he grew up, and found out he had a green light dad. And that's why he'd just go ahead and live like crazy and just assume, okay, God's going to love me anyway. It's just green light. Others of you here grew up with a yellow light dad. I kind of think my dad was a yellow light dad. Now, he wasn't perfect. Sometimes he turned on the red light a little too much. But for the most part, he gave me slack at the right time, pulled the rope in at the right time. And I think I had a pretty healthy fear of God, a respect of God, and wanted to obey God. And many of you here, you'd say, yeah, I probably had a yellow light dad too. But I found out over the last 10 years especially, a whole lot of people grew up in a black light household. You don't have a father in the house at all. Or if you have one, you hardly ever see him. So you have an unhealthy fear or no fear at all because he's never around. So what I want you to ask yourself this morning is to help you understand your own background. What was your dad like? Was your dad a red light dad, yellow light dad, green light dad, black light dad? Because it'll kind of help you understand why you have the understanding of God that you do. So today I'm kind of on a fear-finding mission because we need to recover a healthy fear of God. I'm going to give you three key words in just a minute that'll help you with that. But before I do, on your scripture there, it says in 1 John 4:18, perfect love drives out fear. In other words, we don't have to fear the future, fear failure, fear your loneliness, fear all kinds of things people fear, commitment. Nope. We only need to fear God. Because if we fear God, a healthy fear of God, we don't have to fear anything else. If I have a proper respect and obedience to God, I don't have to fear anything else. He's the only thing worthy of our fear and respect. And if you haven't noticed, fear is a basic instinct of almost every creature. It's kind of Christianity in the raw, a fear of God. Not cowering, not wigging, not the Barney Fife thing or tucking your tail between your legs and running away from God. No, no, no. God wants us to fear him, but fear in the raw. And these three words will help you. Here's the first word. First word is recognition. You need to recognize who God is. If you're going to have a healthy fear of God. Ruth Ann and I were at a wedding yesterday, and while we were at a outdoor wedding on top of it, you know, you can't have an outdoor wedding when it's 65 or 70. It's got to be 92. And we're in Michigan City at this outdoor wedding, and we see a couple we hadn't seen. We'd pastored them for years, and then they moved to Missouri probably 8 or 10 years ago. And they come walking up, and I'm thinking, oh, man, what is their name? You ever have that feeling? It's just like, it went. And I'm praying, God, help us remember the name. Ruth, you know the name. You know? I've had times when I've actually walked up to somebody and said, hey, it's so good to have you here today. And maybe I remember, like, Sandy's name. And I said, boy, Sandy, it's good to be here. And Luther says, hey, do you remember my name? I'm looking at him like, and I've actually asked the wife, I said, hey, Sandy, this man you call your husband, what's his name again? Luther. Oh, yeah, Luther, I know your name. I mean, you know, I just forgot it, but I knew it. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves who God is. I prayed to God and said, okay, God, just this morning, I'm out with the dog, and it's just getting daylight, and the birds are starting to sing, and I took her out to a new subdivision where there's dirt roads right now. They haven't paved them yet. And in fact, I promised in the first service, the owners were here, and I said, Ruth and I will come out to see them afterwards, and it's on 100 North, not too far from where I live. And I mean, it was just gorgeous out there. I mean, it was just nature at its best. Deer going across the way and all that, you know. And I said, God, I'm so glad you created this world. I'm so glad that you made it possible. And I'm glad it's a beautiful morning where we can go running without rain and storms and hail or tornadoes or whatever. And you say, why do you have to remind God of who he is? Does he forget? Oh, yeah, God's up in heaven. I didn't realize I was God. I forgot. I went to sleep last night. I forgot I created this world. Yeah, no, I sent Jesus on the cross to die for you. I forgot. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. No, God doesn't need that, but you do, and I do. Because when I really recognize who God is and that he's the one in control, not me, I need to thank God for the fact that I'm breathing air today. I had nothing to do with it. My ego kind of takes a back seat. My pride kind of goes, whoop, I have nothing to do with life. Other than the fact, I'm just here. Because God's placed me here. And I got to tell you something. I'm a human being, and if left unchecked, I can go south. If I don't regularly recognize who God is and give him this significant slot in my life, like, God, you are God and I'm not. I just want to thank you for that. The next thing you know, I'm going to begin to think, I'm God of my life. A lot of people I meet nowadays, that's what they act like and that's what they sound like. They may not say it in those exact words, but their attitude is, hey, I call the shots. I'm in charge of my life. I'm going to determine my destiny. I'm going to forge my own future. I'm God of Dwayne. No, I'm not God of Dwayne. We need to recognize who is God. God is God. I'm not. And then and only then will we begin to have a healthy fear of who God is. Once you recognize who God is, then we can discern a healthy balance between love of God and the fear of God. I love this scripture in your notes, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope is in his unfailing love. Got the word fear and love in the same verse. Same thing here in Psalms 118. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Fear and love are balanced. Last week, for 4 days, Ruth and I had a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old staying in our house. 4 days and 4 nights. Probably why I got sinus infection. I was probably run down. But anyway, I don't have the energy of a 2-year-old, I'll tell you that. Anyway, Ruth and I decided to take them to the Discover. Is it called the Discover Zone, Ruth? What's it called? It's what? Oh, inflatables out at the Funflatables out in the mall. Okay. Try to have all this stuff blowing up, the kids can play in. And I mean, we no longer get in the door. Then the 2-year-old recognizes, oh, I was here last month. And she runs over to the place and puts her shoes in, and she's heading off to her favorite player. And I told Ruth Ann, I said, Ruth, I'll take Kate. You take George, the 5-year-old. And Kate goes over to the place where the little giddy kid stuff is. And, man, she's in this and she's on that. And she's going down this little slipper slide. You know, they're only about 3 foot high. It's good for a two-year-old. And then she gets on a teeter-totter that's on kind of a balance thing, you know. She sits on there and she points to the other end like, okay, get on. And I'm thinking, yeah, like if I get on there and go, phew, here you are. Because it'd be way out of balance. But, you know, a lot of us are that way with fear and love. Gets way out of balance. We don't recognize who God is. We don't recognize this critical balance between fear and love. Because, see, if we fall too much on the fear side, now I grew up with that, and some of you did too, because that's the way the preachers used to preach. Well, then we become what? Legalistic. I got to follow these rules or else God's going to hammer me right up against the window like Linda did the hornet. Put me under. And so I grew up, you know, with the old saying, you can't drink, can't cuss, can't chew, can't run around with girls to do. Why? Because of a fear of God, he might. Christianity is just a bunch of rules and regulations. I got to jump through this hoop and do this, 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 and this, and then maybe God will not hit me with a heavenly hammer. A lot of us grew up that way. But Christianity is a relationship. It is not a legalistic trip. A relationship with someone who loves us. But if you go too far on the love side, you get to the green dad side, then we think, well, it doesn't matter what God does. He doesn't care how I live because he's just going to love me regardless, love me unconditionally. So therefore, they don't realize that fear is tied to love. It needs to be a healthy balance like on a seesaw. And if we far too far on the love side, then the next thing we know, we get lazy. Just cruising our Christianity, and we don't find that purpose and meaning that life could have if we would only understand we need a healthy fear of God as well as a knowing you're loved by God. Now, I knew that while growing up, I was loved by my father. He spent a lot of time with me on the farm when it had been a lot easier not to have me around, but he spent a lot of time with me. But I also had not only knew the love of my father, but I also had a healthy fear of my father too, knowing there's certain things I don't do. Could be dangerous, first of all. But secondly, I know my God loves me. My dad loves me, and I need to have a healthy fear so I will obey him, respect him. There's that delicate balance. So we need to recognize who God is. He loves us, but we also need to respect him. Second word I want to show you is the word accountability. Accountability. We just came through tax time about a month and a half ago, and in April the 15th, that day of accountability that the government gives us where we have to give an account of our finances. How we spent our money, how we saved our money, how we invested our money, and so on and so forth. That day of accountability. But God has an April 15th. God has a day of accountability in our life where someday I'm going to come before God and tell God how I spent my life, invested my life, and used my life. The Bible says one day we'll do that. We're going to stand before God and get an account of every word we spoke and every thought we had and all the rest. In fact, the Bible indicates that's how we get our rewards in heaven. We're not going to have punishment because we're in heaven, but our rewards are determined by how did we use our life here on earth. And so if you're following Jesus, you're going to have this day of accountability before Jesus. The writer to Hebrews puts it this way. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees through everything. And we have to tell him the truth. I mean, he knows everything. He just won't tell him the truth. So we give an account, a healthy accountability that motivates me to live a pure life, a life of following Jesus. Like the original blank you filled in where you, or the second one you filled in where it says respect and obey the Lord. Why do I want to respect and obey God? Because I know I'm accountable to him. Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm a human being. Sometimes I mess up. I forget things, like your name. I strike out. I don't hit a home run every time. I fumble. I stumble. And I just have to be honest with God. Say, okay, God, I'm sorry, man. I really dropped the ball on this. And that's okay. God knows. In fact, the next verse of Scripture in your notes says that the Lord corrects people he loves and disciplines those he calls his own. Now, Ruth and I, we loved our kids more than words can express. I just love them so much. We love them so much, we disciplined our kids. We corrected our kids. And thank goodness God cares enough about us that he disciplines us too. He corrects us also. You know, the moment we become a follower of Jesus and we become a part of his family, adopts us into God's family, and he's our Father, the perfect Heavenly Father. And he, and as long as we try to get this healthy balance between fear and love, he'll discipline you, he'll discipline me when we decide we don't want to obey him. Because there's times when I've disobeyed God. I'm supposed to respect and obey God, but there's times when I disobeyed. And God said to discipline me. In fact, on the screen we'll put up here that discipline is correction that is driven by love. I guess we won't do that. Oh, yeah, there it is up at the top. Discipline is correction driven by love. Now think about that a minute. Because God loves us, he's willing to discipline us. But it's because he loves us. He knows what you have. He knows that you've got a skill set. I've got a skill set. He's given us abilities. And if we don't use, if I don't use my abilities or you don't use yours, we'll miss an opportunity after opportunity to do what God wants us to do. That'll bring us satisfaction and purpose and meaning in life. And so he'll discipline us. So I try to live a life reflective of God's character because I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to get to God at the end of my life and on that day of accountability and say, oh man, God, you know, I tried, but man, I was involved in this and that, and I had to mow the grass and do this and all that kind of thing. You know, did all this stuff. No, I don't want God to look at me and feel that my life is riddled with regret. I want the best for me. And that only happens as I'm willing to let God use my life the way he made me. That's why some of you are musicians, and some of you are mechanics, and some of you are accountants, some of you are homemakers, some of you are salespeople, some of you are all different because God's made us all different, and we're responsible for using that life God gave us the way God wants us to. You need the best for whatever it is God's called you to do. You want to be the best. For example, do you want the best for your marriage? I've never met a person who said, no. Do you want the best for your children? Of course we do. Do you want the best for your life? Do you want the best for your finances? Do you want the best for your career, for your future? Do you want the best relationally in your relationships? Do you want the best? Then recognize who God is, that he loves you. And you need to respect him and obey him. And understand accountability. Moses was at the base of Mount Sinai. He received those Ten Commandments. And then he communicated to the people here in the scripture up here. And he said, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will keep you, will be with you to keep you from sinning. So he says, don't be afraid. There's a healthy fear of God, respect of God. That will keep you from doing the wrong thing. That's what sinning is. If you want to know what sin is, it's a little S, a big capital I, and a little N. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what you want to do, God. No, if I have a healthy respect of God, I do care. And I'll say, God, what do you want me to do here? So Moses understands. He recognizes who God is, and we're accountable to him. Third thing is obedience. That's the third word. It's about a willingness to go by God's game plan. To obey, to do what he says. The most powerful man financially ever to live on this earth is mentioned about in the Bible. His name is Solomon. Solomon. You spell it S-O-L-O-M-O-N. And for the first 40 years of his life, he was a solo man. He did what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it, when he wanted to do it. And so he tested the power and the pleasures and the possessions like we've never seen. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett together couldn't carry his wallet. Do you realize they said if he built his house today, Solomon's palace would cost over $200 billion. Just a house. And yet he was brilliant. He had memorized over 2,005 Proverbs. I mean, you know, he was the toast of the town. He had it all. But he burned up 4 decades of his life. And then being an older man, he looked back in the rearview mirror. And here's what he wrote down, these words. In fact, everything you were taught can be put in a few words. Solomon understood that. Respect, and obey God. That is what life is all about. Wow. That's pretty potent. God preserved the words and the thoughts and the journeys of Solomon so that you and I wouldn't have to go there and waste 40 years of our life. Isn't that great? What a wonderful God we have. So my question to you today is, are you going according to God's game plan? Are you respecting and obeying God? God just simply wants people to say, God, I'll do it your way. I'm not going to be a little God pretending to rule over the universe called Dwayne or called me. You're God. I'm not. You have the game plan that's best for me. So God, help me today to follow your game plan for me today, because I can only live one day at a time. And if I do, then I'm hitting life on all cylinders and I find purpose and meaning in life. And by the way, you know where God's game plan is revealed? God's game plan is revealed right here in the Bible. If you don't have one, pick one off the table, take it with you and read it this week. Most of you have one. That's why you're here today, because you've read the Bible. You know what it says. But we need to keep reading the Bible so we'll know. And that's why I'm so glad last year we went clear through the Bible in a year. And that's why I'm glad you're here this morning in church to hear what God has to say. Because you want to know God's game plan. And that's a good thing. Christianity works. In fact, I put this on the screen. Christianity cracks the code of our messed up culture. And our culture is really messed up. And so if you're here today and you're in the game plan of God, you're a step ahead of everybody else. And you may not be in the game plan. Maybe you realize that, hey, you know what? I've never stepped across the line and signed the dotted line. You see, Christianity is a decision, but I also want you to know it is a process. You don't just join the process. In other words, I didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, man, I'm married. I got a ring on it. Here's Ruth beside me. Oh, man, how'd this happen? No. It was a planned event, a decision. Came to a point where I said, I do, and I will. And then I understood the implications of what happens after I say I do, the process of staying married. And the same thing's true in the Christian life. It's one thing to say, okay, God, I need to open my life to you and have you come into my life and forgive me and help me. But man, the process. So to become a Christian, I thought you might need to know four things. Here they are. Number one. We have to understand that God unconditionally loves us. He really does love you. We matter to God. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But God loves us. Has a great game plan for every life in here. I don't care what age you are. Number two, we've blown it. We struck out of the moral batting plate. We've sinned. Sin separates us from God. And so number three, God took the initiative and he sent Christ to die on the cross for all our sins to rise again. And to take our punishment, and so he could forgive us, so we could get back to God. And number four, it's our choice, our call. We either do it or we don't. We either walk through the turnstile, get into the game of life, or we stay out in the parking lot, sitting on the tailgate, wondering why everybody else is having all the fun and finding meaning and purpose in life while I'm just out here floating around on a tailgate. But it's our choice. See, we're not robots. We're not puppets on a string. God made us as creatures in the image of God. So we have a choice. And maybe today you need to make that choice. Not just to invite him to come in to forgive you of your sins, but to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to respect you and obey you and do what you want to do. Let you be Lord of my life. You see, Christianity is not complicated. It's really pretty simple. It's kind of, people like to make it complex, but it's kind of like being in good shape. Who was it that just ran a race? Jake just ran a race. They had the canine race, 5K canine race this last week the police did here in Valpo, and he didn't run with his dog, though. He ran by himself. Got a trophy, didn't you? Or whatever it was they gave you for being first in your age group. And being in shape's not that hard. You know what you have to do? You eat right and you exercise right. Okay? It's simple. Now, is it easy to implement? No. Just ask me last night at the wedding reception where we were eating things I probably shouldn't have eaten if I really wanted to stay in good shape. Complex, but it's simple. And Christianity is the same way. We try to make it complex, but it's so simple. And that doesn't mean it's shallow, doesn't mean it's superficial, but it's simple. It just takes everything you have. Once you step over the line, guess what? God says, I'll come in and live in your life and help you, give you the strength and the power to do what you need to do. But you need to be willing to ask him and allow him to help you. You need to respect him and obey him. And by the way, we have down here five fringe benefits of a healthy fear of God. Psalms 25:12 says, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. You're going to find direction. And Psalms 103:13, number two, you're going to find compassion. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on you. We all need compassion. The third thing we find is blessing. The reward of humility in Proverbs 24:4 is the fear of the Lord. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Who wouldn't want that? And then guess what? Psalms 34:9-10 says, then you have contentment. And then Psalms 25:14 says, if you continue to do that, guess what? The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him and he will make them know his covenant. That's maturity. Now, the most basic instinct of all creatures is the instinct of fear. But the only thing we should fear, friends, is the fear of God. That is Christianity in the raw. And most of you have done that, and that's why you're here week after week after week after week after week. But what I want to do is go back to a scripture that Mike read earlier when he had a stand and wasn't in your bulletin, so I'll just put it on the screen for you. He read this in just on 17:17. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. And he said, what does it mean, make them holy? Well, the original language that was written in is a word from which we get the word sanctify. In fact, let's go ahead and write it in the older version. It says sanctify them by the truth. Now, that word means something different to you if you're Baptist. It means something different if you're Catholic. It means something different if you're Methodist. Because it has its own definition. That's why the newer versions usually leave it out. But here's what it means. You find this, by the way, when you read this today. On 175, you haven't read it yet. Here's what it's going to tell you. Sanctify means to be set apart. We're not like the people of the world who are little gods of their own lives. No. We're to be set apart and say, okay, God, I'm yours today. I'm your salesperson today, or I'm your accountant today, or I'm your homemaker today. I'm your whatever it is today that you're doing. Maybe you're off today. Okay, Lord, I'm relaxing and yours, but I'm yours today while I'm relaxed. You're set apart to be God's person. Sanctify means to be given a new mission. We're not living self-centered lives anymore. We're putting God at the center of our lives. You come to a point where you realize, I need to have God in the driver's seat. And one of the quotes it has in your from your book, Ashes to Fire, says, we no longer live by the values and the priorities of the world. No, we don't. We live with a respect to healthy fear of God. And then we need to let Christ be Lord of my life. That's what it means. So I ask you this morning, who's calling the shots in your life? Is it you or is it God? And when you allow God to be the center of your life, to have a God-centered life instead of a self-centered life, wow. That's when you know that you really do respect and obey the Lord. Have a healthy fear of God. Some of you remember just a month ago, a White Sox baseball player pitched a perfect game. Anybody know his name? Woo! Way to go. Are you on his Twitter list, by the way? Here's what he tweeted. I'm not on it either. I read it in a magazine. After he pitched a perfect game, here's his first, and of course now he's got a lot of people, thousands of people on his Twitter. Here's what he tweeted. Throwing a perfect game is an awesome moment in a ball player's life, but it pales in comparison to knowing the truly perfect God. And he gave his witness of how God had changed his life. Now let me tell you something. All of a sudden I became a Phil Humber fan. Two other teams had given up on him because he'd had surgery, didn't do good. And somehow the White Sox got him. I guess they were really desperate. And God was able to use that to help tell people that here's somebody whose life is committed to God. And he can pitch a perfect game, but it pales in comparison to having that relationship with the perfect God where he's Lord of your life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, I just ask that you would help us today. Not to become self-centered to where we want to be God of our lives, but to say, oops, sorry, God. I need to be God-centered. I want you to be in the driver's seat of my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. So I ask you today, God, to help me. And then you know what you've got today. You may have to go to work. You may have to be going home. You may have to be doing different things. Why don't you just talk silently to God and say, God, help me today as I so that I can be yours, your child, and you can be Lord of my life. And God, this week, as we go through the week, there'll be times when we need wisdom. We need direction. We need understanding. Help us to ask you for that wisdom. Help us to ask you for that understanding. Help us to ask you to use our lives and invest them wisely while we're here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the band to come forward, and as they do, we're going to take a moment as they sing to take communion. As we take communion today, as we take the bread and dip it in the juice, you may just want to remind yourself that, yep, God, today it's your body, your blood that was given for me. That's God's love for you. So help me to have a healthy respect and obey you this week, a healthy fear of God. And if we do, God will use your life this week as you've never dreamed he could. Thank you. Let's listen.
Above all kings.
Let's leave that on the screen, Ruth. Now, as you go through this week, I want you to remember that last line. You took it all and thought of me above all. God thinks of you and wants to help you be what you can be this week if you'll just make sure to respect him and obey him. That's a healthy fear of God. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you again next week.